الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى أصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد, all praises due to Allah, the Majestic, the Almighty, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention, grant peace and send His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his noble companions, his wives, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers in Islam, I want you to imagine a school. A school that was a unique school. A school that had the best principal, the best staff, the best teachers, the best location, the best construction, the best curriculum. Everything that you expect in a good school, which almost doesn't exist today, was found in that particular school. Furthermore, among the students in the school was a very unique student as well. What they call a studious student. He respected the elders. He respected the teachers. He did his homework. He did his classwork. He was the first in all subjects. And an ideal, outstanding student. And so, the school decided to honor this particular individual for two main reasons. Reason number one, it's means of encouraging him to further excel, to become better, to keep him firm on his way, that good way, that correct way. Secondly, it just so happened that his friends, his classmates, are some of the worst in the world. The people that attended that school were some of the worst students. So the school wanted this particular boy to be an example for the rest. When they see how good he is, they will try to follow his footsteps. So indeed, they brought everyone together in the ceremony. And in that ceremony, they honored him. They enumerated his qualities. They spoke of his excellence. And so then everyone recognized the uniqueness and the specialty of that particular student. Plan B, or the second in line in terms of steps, was that they will make this particular boy spend a few days in each classroom. He would go around, spend a few days in each classroom so that the other students will learn from him. How does he behave? How does he conduct himself? How does he react with the teachers? They will see him and they will do like him, and maybe the whole school will change in terms of the students. But guess what happened? Things happened very differently. The boy started to go around from a class to another, and instead of him teaching the bad students, he started to learn from the bad students, the evil traits. So every time he would go to a class, he would become worse. Next thing you know, by the time that whole thing was over, he was a liar. He never came on time. He never did his homework. He never respected anyone. He became the worst student of all. I ask you, and you shouldn't answer during Jumu'ah, answer in your mind. What would you say about this particular individual? Is it becoming that someone will abandon all these good qualities, these good traits, and then follow the ways of the evil people? You will say, no, no, no. This is unacceptable. If it was my son, I would become upset with him. I would never do this. But you know what, my brothers in Islam? This particular story I'm quoting to you out of my imagination is a parable. It's a parable to the condition of the Muslim individual whom Allah has chosen, whom Allah has guided, whom Allah has revealed unto him the best teachings in the world, teachings that will lead him to the best character, best behavior, best belief system. and everything that will guarantee success in this life and in the life to come. And after all that, he abandons all of these things and he goes around chasing after the disbelievers, imitating them and trying to look like them, live like them and be like them. It's the same. It's the same. One who abandons all this good in the deen of Islam and tries to find it among the disbelievers is like that student who had everything given to him but he didn't appreciate nor did he recognize, and he's learning the evil ways of the people who Allah did not give these particular privileges. The question that you may ask is, to what extent does a Muslim do this? How far will one go in imitating the disbelievers? And I will give you examples on what I'm saying. And abandoning the way of Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered that question himself in the famous narration, which was narrated or collected by Bukhari and Muslim, Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu wa arda. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, latattabi'unna sanana man qablakum شبرا بشبر وذراعا بذراع حتى لو سلكوا جحر ضب لسلكتموه. قلنا يا رسول الله اليهود والنصارى. قال فمن. Listen to this narration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us some information about what will happen in the future, something that we're living today. This is from the knowledge which Allah gave him. He did not share the knowledge of Allah, but Allah gave him some information about the future so that we will know and take heed and be careful. He said, you shall verily follow the ways of the people that came before you, a handspan by a handspan. If they go this far, we will go that far. A cubit or an arm's length by an arm's length. If they go that far, we will go that far. Then he went on to say, even if they entered the hole of a lizard, you know the lizard, that one insect, or not even an insect, a small animal, whatever it is considered in science, I'm not a scientist. Whatever that creature is, you know that creature. It has a hole where it lives in, it returns to. He said, even if they entered the hole of a lizard, you shall enter it too. This is how far some of us will imitate them. Even if they enter the hole of a lizard, we will enter it too. The Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, the Jews and the Christians, are you speaking about the Jews and the Christians? He said, who else? Who else then? And in other narrations, he mentioned the Romans and the Persians. So the ulama understood that it is not particular to these nations. It could be in our days, imitating the Hindus, imitating the Buddhists, imitating the atheists, it doesn't matter anymore. Once we're imitating the disbelievers, this particular narration is applicable to us. Now it is amazing. It is one of the most amazing things in the world that we do this in spite of the fact that each one of us here, unless there's an exception, asks Allah at least 17 times a day something in opposition to that. At least 17 times a day you say in the Fatiha. What do you say in the Fatiha? اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Then we all say Ameen. Guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have bestowed your favors upon, those who are rightly guided among the prophets and the messengers. Not the path, oh Allah, not the path of those who have attained your anger, and not the path of those who have gone astray. Ameen. Oh Allah, we don't want it. 17 times a day if you only pray the obligatory prayers. If you pray the sunan, the 12 voluntary prayers, and one witr, you say this 40 times a day. You don't even say your name 40 times a day, but you ask Allah for this 40 times a day minimum. If you're praying other prayers like Tahiyyatul Masjid and otherwise, then that's even more. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how we say something, but we don't do it? Let me give you an example. A boy tells his mother, Mom, you know these neighbors, these kids, I don't like them. They're evil. They're always trying to lead me astray. Always telling me to go and do something wrong. I don't like to hang out with them, mom. Please help me. Anytime you see me with them, try to get me out. Don't allow me to mix with them, mom. I beg you, help me out. His mother says, sure. Sure, my son. Anything for you. No worries. I will take care of it. Guess what? A few minutes later, he's outside, hanging with the kids. His mother sees him. Amazing. Didn't he ask me? Didn't he tell me he doesn't want them? What is he doing with them? Then she says, maybe he has a reason. Let me help him out. Let me get him out of the situation. So she calls him, hey, my son, come in and help me. I don't want to help you, mom. I'm having fun with my friends. What is this? What is the mother going to say? What is wrong with this kid? He asks for help. I provide him help. He tells me something. He doesn't live up to it. Is he normal? Is his brain sound? Is he feeble-minded? What is the matter with this son of mine? This is the attitude. And this is what we do. Allah, please don't give us that path. Then we chase after them. We're dying to do what they do. But we tell Allah that we don't want to do that. Amazing situation. Amazing situation. It doesn't stop there, my brothers in Islam. It continues. We do this trying to please them. Some of us have a sickness in their heart. They will not feel satisfied until the Khawaja is satisfied. They will not feel happy until he is happy with them. But they don't know that Allah said in the Quran, وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى وَلَئِنِ اتَّبَعْتَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ مَا لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. Allah told us already in the Quran, so we will know, the Jews and the Christians will never, never be pleased with you until you do one thing. You know what that one thing is? You become a Jew or a Christian. You can't leave half Islam and half Jews and Christians. It doesn't work with them. The only time they will accept you is when you put a cross around your chest, around your neck. The only time when you declare that you're a Jew. Otherwise, they will never be pleased with you. So why do we worry? If they will never be pleased with us until we give up our religion, then why do we try to please them even for 0.001%? We shouldn't. And Allah said in return, in response to this, say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهُ هُوَ الْهُدَى. The guidance of Allah is the true guidance. Islam is the true guidance, not what they're doing. Then Allah warned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we are included in the warning. And if you follow their desires, if you follow their desires after the knowledge has been made clear to you, you shall have against Allah no helper or protector. No one will be able to help us. You see how profound that is? So my brothers in Islam, we need to realize the plots that are being made against our religion. Against our religion and the followers of our religion. Islam is the target for every single nation. You must know this in the depth of your heart. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the news. Don't believe the media. They don't work for Islam. They work for someone else. They work for the shaitan. They collaborate against us. And when we allow them to affect our religion, to change our ways, besides the fact that they are trying to destroy us, we go to the extent of trying to imitate them. This is the worst situation in the world for a Muslim. And Allah warned us, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Whoever opposes the messenger after the truth has been made clear to him, and he follows a way other than that of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and Atba'u Tabi'een and those who follow them in goodness until today, whoever leaves alone, whoever opposes the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he abandons the way of his righteous companions and those who came after them, Allah said, we will allow him to travel upon that path. Everyone has a free will. No one will hold you by your arm and twist it and say, come and practice the way of Islam the way it's supposed to be practiced. No. The most we can do is lecture, give khutab, remind, it's over. The affair is between each one of us and Allah. Between each one of us and Allah. So the ayah continues. Allah will allow him to travel upon this path. This is in the dunya, but in the life to come, he will enter Jahannam. And what an evil abode. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum." Whosoever resembles a group of people, whosoever imitates a group of people, he is one of them. He didn't say huwa ma'ahum, he is with them. Huwa minhum, he is from them. From them. In the dunya and perhaps in the life to come. So in what areas? You may be asking right now, what is he talking about? Okay, I understand. I shouldn't imitate the kuffar. Where? How? In what? I will give you some examples. There are four main areas where Muslims imitate the disbelievers. Number one, in our creed, our belief system. What we believe concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we believe concerning the angels. What we believe concerning the messengers. What we believe concerning the scriptures. The day of judgment and preordainment. Some of the Muslims imitate the disbelievers in these areas. Some of the Muslims still think that the angel is a young girl, as a young infant, a baby that they put on their cabinets at home. This is from the ways of the Christians. You haven't seen an angel? Don't try to portray one. Don't try to draw one. Don't try to sculpture one. Because you're speaking about Allah without knowledge. Some people think that the book, like the Jews and the Christians, is something that you play with whenever you feel like it. And whenever you don't feel like it, you throw it behind your back. So the Quran is a part-time book in our lives. Ramadan, no problem. Outside Ramadan, brother, leave me alone. I will recite the Quran, don't get me wrong. I will open it and read. I don't know what I'm reading. I don't know what it says. I don't really have to act upon it, but I read the Quran. This is like the Jews and the Christians. وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِي. Allah said about them, and among them are those who are ignorant, illiterate, uneducated. They know nothing of the book but recitation. Just false hopes and wishes. Some of us follow them in their way. The other area, the area of celebrations. And what do you know about celebrations? MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. When the Christians have a Christmas for Jesus, we find some Muslims who wanted to have a mawlid for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Where did you get that one from? From which revelation did you get that one from? From which sunnah did you find that? You will not find any references. Not among the sunnah, not in the Quran, not in the sunnah, not among a single companion, not alone the four madhahib. No one even made mention of such a celebration. Until some years and years, hundreds of years after, among the Shiites, where we learned this nonsensical celebration that people now celebrate every single year. This is not from the way of Islam. This is from the way of the Christians. And in the same light, we can speak about birthdays and Valentine's and Mother's Day and Father's Day and Labor's Day and Monkey's Day. And every day they come up with the day. If you just want to celebrate all the time, just say it. Stop playing games with the people. We don't have no innovations every time you come up with a celebration. We have Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha. Whoever is not satisfied, Allah al-Musta'an, may Allah guide him. If this is not sufficient, if you want to live this life in celebration, what did you leave for the life to come, my brother? Then what will you do in Jannah if this life is a celebration? This is the struggle. This is the effort. And we will harvest over there. So we need to chill and keep the deen as it is. Thirdly, worship. Muslims imitating the Jews and the Christians and others in worship. Today, among the Muslims are those who worship dead people in the graves. They erect these graves. They elevate these graves. They put flowers and roses around them. And then they put some blankets on them, green usually. And then people do Hajj. Not to the Kaaba. No, no, no. To Mawlana Fulan. Buried in some land. Allah knows who he is. And whether he's really buried there. And whether he was righteous or not. Only Allah knows. So Muslims do like the Hindus and the Christians, worshipping dead people. In Christianity, if someone died and they found something special about him, they will make him a saint. And from now on, you have no problem seeking help from him. Saint Christopher will help you get to your destination if you're lost. Some other saint will help you do this if that. So now Muslims have the same thing. Mawlana, Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, and this and that, and they worship them with Allah. Not that they don't worship Allah, but they worship them with Allah. Major shirk that will get you thrown out of the window of Islam. You will not leave with respect. You'll be kicked out of Islam with this kind of behavior. But Muslims are doing this today. Imitating the Jews and the Christians and erecting graves and building places of prostration over them. Even though the Prophet ﷺ, before he died, he said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَ اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدٍ. May Allah curse the Jews and the Christians. They took the graves of their prophets as places of worship. Warning us from that. Warning us. Muslims do that today. Last, but not least, in behavior, in the way we conduct ourselves. Today, some Muslims believe that the best way to give da'wah is what? Singing. Quran? No good, brother. We are in the 21st century. Sunnah? A little harsh for the people. What works? Islamic nasheed, brother. Let's bring some Sami Yusuf into the business here, and inshallah everyone will become a Muslim tomorrow. MashaAllah. Since when? Since when was Islam a bunch of singing and dancing and clapping? Since when? I don't know. I'm looking for the evidence until the moment. I don't know. Where did we get this from? This behavior is un-Islamic. A Muslim, my brothers in Islam, does not get on stage and perform like a singer. He does not. He gives a lecture about Islam. He teaches people Islam. He may joke every now and then to keep the mood nice and lovely. No problem at all, no problem. But to come and sing on stage with a band, with a chorus in the background, with an album being put out in the name of Islamic nasheed, la wallah, la wallah. This is from the Sufis. This is how the Sufis wanted to worship Allah, just like the Christians. You go to some of the churches in other countries and you have to double check that it didn't say disco outside. Disco. There's a huge band, guitar, piano, the whole nine yards. And they're just singing their heads off every Sunday. You say, this is worship, man? That's how you worship God? And they have khushu', they're crying for Jesus, who's innocent from them, wallahi innocent from them. So now we do the same thing? No, we don't do the same thing. Comedy among some of the Muslims are a group who have turned the religion into comedy. They tour the world doing stand-up comedy, cracking jokes about Islam and the Muslims. Unbelievable, unbelievable. I'm not going to mention more than that. But this is all foreign to Islam, foreign to the teachings. It's foreign to venerating the deen of Allah, exalting and extolling Allah. It is foreign to the understanding of the righteous predecessors whom Allah spoke about in the Quran. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهِ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Verily, the true believers are those when Allah's name is mentioned, their hearts tremble in fear. Not those who call themselves, Allah made me funny. No, you ain't funny, my brother. You are as lame as a person can be. And shame on you, trying to include the name of Allah in such a lowly title. But these people exist, speaking on our behalf. And we declare to Allah our innocence from this attitude and this behavior of the non-Muslims. We don't have that in Islam. Many other examples can be narrated and quoted. But I'm sure, my brothers, you know. And let me make it clear. There are areas where imitating the disbelievers is not prohibited. Just so you will not think we are extreme on any end. If you like to use a phone, no one will tell you, brother, no, the disbelievers use a phone, put it down. Use a phone. You like to ride a car? Ride a car. You like to go on a plane? Go on a plane. These are from the matters of the dunya, which there's absolutely nothing wrong with imitating them. We are speaking about matters of religion. Things that are particular to the Jews, the Christians, the Hindus, we don't do. The way they dress, the way they worship, the way they believe, the way they celebrate, these are all none of our business. We don't go there. This is where the area is prohibited. And in the second part of the khutbah, bi-idhnillah, I will give you some classical and practical examples from the seerah, from the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we will know how exactly he tried to instill in the Muslims finding our own identity, distinguishing ourselves, and finding honor in doing so. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد. Brothers in Islam, Anas رضي الله عنه وارضاه narrated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had explained, or the situation was the Jews back then, when their women will get their menstrual cycle, they would not eat with them nor will they spend time with them. When the woman would be on her period, they will send her somewhere else. They wouldn't eat with her. The Sahaba mentioned this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Concerning this, Allah revealed, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. They ask you concerning menstruation, say it is harmful, so abandon, leave alone women during that time. And the Prophet ﷺ explained what is intended by i'tazilu. He said, do everything with them except intimacy. You eat with them, you drink with them, you go with them, you come with them, you spend time with them, you love them, but you don't go to the final stage. Why? Trying to teach us to distinguish ourselves from the Jews and the Christians. In the hadith of Amr ibn al-As, he was wearing two garments that were dyed with saffron, and it was something that was known to be the dress code of the non-Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him, he told him, take them off, these are from the clothes of the kuffar. So my brothers, when you put on clothes, you should strive to look like a Muslim. Wearing pants and a shirt and otherwise are allowed, they're allowed. However, they must meet the Islamic requirements in terms of how tight they are. They can't be too tight showing your body and your private parts. They should not be like those of the immoral people. So the low-waist jeans, that new fashion that allow everyone in the world to see your underwear, is not from Islam and not allowed to be worn, because it doesn't do the job of covering the awrah. So the dress code is a very sensitive issue. We have our own unique style. Muslims are known, believe me, wherever you go in the world, we are identified by our appearance. You could tell a Muslim from among a million people by the way he dresses and the way he looks. And we should strive to do that. It's free. Wallahi, it's free. You don't have to pay money, but Allah will reward you. Find dignity, find honor in looking like a Muslim. It's a tool for da'wah. So when a person sees you, he can give salam. Sometimes you see a Muslim and you don't know. You start being reluctant. Is he a Muslim or is not? You cannot tell the difference. This is not allowed. People should be able to tell you're a Muslim. You should find pride and honor in that, because Allah made us superior in this fashion. So the Prophet ﷺ told him, take them off. These are the clothes of the kuffar. They don't make you look unique. They make you look like everyone else. Don't wear them. In a more profound narration, the hadith of Abu Umama, he said the Prophet ﷺ walked by some senior brothers among the Ansar, some of the elderly, and they had a big white beard. He ﷺ said, dye it, change the color, do not look like the Jews and the Christians. So some of the Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, the Jews and the Christians, they wear trousers, but they don't wear the izar. The izar is that towel, like a towel-like fabric that the brothers wear around their waist. From some Muslim countries, you know, they tie it around their waist. It's called an izar. They said they wear pants, but they don't wear the izar. He said, wear the pants and wear the izar. Distinguish yourself from them. Differ yourself from them. They said, O Messenger of Allah, the Jews and the Christians, they wear the khuf, but they don't wear sandals. The khuf are leather socks. He said, wear the khuf and wear sandals. Differ separate yourselves from the Jews and the Christians. They said, oh Messenger of Allah, the Jews and the Christians, they shave their beard and they keep their mustache long. He said, trim your mustache and let your beard grow. Distinguish yourself from the Jews and the Christians. Subhanallah al-Azim. See what he was trying to instill? See what he was trying to teach? Whatever it is, distinguish yourself from the Jews and the Christians. Until we believe that, we will not enjoy Islam. Until we believe that, we will not understand Islam. And until we believe that, we will not be able to give da'wah to Islam, because we ourselves don't have Islam altogether. This is the reality. When the Jews knew about this, you know what they said? They said, this man is not going to leave anything except that he wants to be different from us. They understood the message. They understood the message that some of us have not understood. They realized he's trying to give us our own special identity. They realized it, but some of us don't. So my brothers in Islam, in conclusion, Allah Azza wa Jal has made this deen perfect. As he told us clearly in the Quran, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ دِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. This day I have perfected your religion for you. I have completed my favor upon you, and I am pleased with Islam as a way of life for you. Allah is pleased when you look like a Muslim, act like a Muslim, live like a Muslim, eat like a Muslim, sleep like a Muslim, and worship like a Muslim. Allah is pleased with you in that particular condition. Allah is not pleased with you when we are doing something else. So from now on, we should understand that honor and dignity lies in Islam. That you, my brother, and I must strive with all of our abilities to distinguish ourselves from everyone else in the world. We must strive to be proud as Muslims, looking like them and living like them. Anything that makes us close to the Jews and the Christians and the Hindus and the Buddhists, we have no business in it. The more you do this, the more Allah shall guide you. The more Allah guides you, the more guarantee it is to enter paradise. This is how it works. If we really want paradise, Allah has made the path clear. We just have to strive and act upon it. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give you and I the understanding of the deen, the love for the deen, the ability to implement the deen, to propagate this deen and be patient in the process. Verily is able to do all things. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد أقم الصلاة.